You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Like at that moment when you're swimming through a chocolate plane, oh, woe is me, and then you got the chance you're having a pity party, and you're sending out invitations, and nobody wants to come to your pity party, and... and if you have a pity party, most people don't want to be around you. So anyway, I forgot where I was going again. But you know, you're having,
So the relationship I have with my Lord today and with people around me today, right? Yeah. I would not give that up for anything.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Go and give to others. That's what I was going to say. So you're having a pity party, and the scripture says, give unto others, and your light will rise out of the darkness like the noonday sun. Now, you get up and get into your car. If you don't have a car, get a bus, get an Uber, whatever you got to do. Go volunteer somewhere. Maybe make some meals at Father's Soup Kitchen, or go over to the hospital and visit the children's section, or go to a nursing home and visit some old people, a little touch, just one person validating them, and saying you're valid in the family of humans, and you're.
I'm one of those guys that believes that the more I do for somebody else, the better I feel about me, and the real thing is real benefit is when I do it for them and don't tell them.
Mm.
So I'm going to give you anybody out there a suggestion that if you're being a little depressed. I'm not saying it's going to be a cure,
A what?
A cure.
A cure, you mean?
A cure. But, if you're depressed right now, go do something for somebody.
Yeah.
And do it without telling them. And I will tell you, I will guarantee you, there you go, that you will feel better.
Now, what kind of thing do you do to help somebody that won't know it?
It does not matter. Find it. Maybe
like
it's your child. Maybe it's your wife.
Okay.
Maybe it's your friend at work.
What do you do?
Maybe make them a call.
Oh.
Pour him some coffee. Maybe you get,
it could be a little tiny.
It doesn't have to be big.
It
does not have to be anything that you can do to help somebody else a little bit better. Whether that's small or big, doesn't matter. It's going to make you feel better. It does me.
And you never know who is feeling lonesome. I remember there's a church in town here, and every Easter they have a big thing over at the Riverside Park. Well, I remember a few years back, probably 20 years ago, whatever, but there was some big older man, like strong, kind of like a man's man, and we're talking, and for some reason, he put his hand on my shoulder. Now, I never had a dad, so maybe it's particularly important to me, but it just felt so kind, and so now I try to hug people, and if it's a female, I hug them side by side.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go breast for breast, side by side. Because I've actually, when I would give a concert, let's say at a church somewhere in the United States, and some little old lady comes up to me and, you give them a hug and they start crying and saying, well, my husband doesn't touch me anymore. He doesn't hug me. He doesn't know. And touching is healing, And they, you can give away just a single touch,
mm-hmm.
on the shoulder or hugging somebody, I guess you have to, I suppose you have to judge on when you've earned the privilege of doing that, or maybe even say, can I give you a hug?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, if you're of opposite sex, do it side by side.
Sure.
But nonetheless, that still feels good, to the human touch.
Absolutely. And, hugging, whatever it takes, whatever makes you feel. Follow that. I don't want to be stubborn.
No.
But I'm still, at times it still crops up and I'm still stubborn. But I work it hard at remembering things. I still go to meetings. Remember where my roots were.
Yeah.
And I practice like the best I can.
Hey, Noah, let me know what the time is like, okay?
And I'm not, I'm not always good.
Yeah.
But I don't beat myself up. I did for so long. Honestly, beat myself up. I did this or I did that.
Yeah. Well, I've learned a lesson. I spend summers when I can up in Vermont, and they have laws. We have the same law here, and it's starting to catch on, I think. But what I like about this small town of Stowe, Vermont, it's a skiing town in the winter, but now they're just as popular probably during the summer. But is if you step off the curb, traffic is legally has to stop. Now, it's nice if you go to where you're supposed to be provided little walkways. You know, they have little designated areas. But even if you don't, and so I'm up there, and I guess, you know, we get into our cars and we think we're the center of the universe. And, you know, what I've learned up there is it feels really good to stop. Now, some lady will come across, then there's some little old lady, then there's some, you know, got man with a cane, and now here comes a young lady with a baby carriage. Oh, my, well, on the way to the dentist, I, me, mine. I go, no, Rhett. I've talked to myself. I said, nope, you're not first. They are. And I realized how good it feels. I'm late to the dentist or wherever I'm going, tough luck. They are first. I find the more that I'm learning, it's fun to put other people first. You know, when you fight in traffic, okay, somebody's fighting traffic, trying to get ahead of everybody, but, you know, and you never know who you're helping out. I remember one time I was driving out Route 60, and I don't know why, but I was on Atlantic and 60, and they've been doing a bunch of construction. Oh, my word, no one's ever going to let me out of here. They're all in line. Immediately, some guy in an old truck, beat-up old pickup truck, and it's funny, it's always people like that, you know, a lot of time it is, not the necessarily well-to-do or the whatever, but... So he blinks his headlights a bunch of times, let me out. And I just really had a tear in my eye, started crying a little bit. Just, I don't know why that meant a lot to me, that they was like, wow, thank you for your kindness. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, it just touched me deeply. You're kind of going through your isolated life, and, you know, somebody reaches out and does a little something to you, oh, you know, okay, you know, I didn't realize I'm...
What it does for me is make me want to do it for somebody else right away.
Yes.
Pass it on.
And you see it behind you. You ever let somebody out? Mm-hmm. And then they let somebody out, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's like a pebble in a pond. It has a rippling effect.
Well, like you, it's a big deal for me in traffic.
Yeah.
When people are kind to me in traffic, because they just are not, for the most part, kind traffic.
Yeah. Well, what I realize is people feel powerless. So somebody gets behind the wheel, it may be the only power they have.
Okay.
Now, if you're driving a better car than them, a prestige vehicle or a more expensive car or maybe just a newer car, maybe, you know, or if they're going through life and you don't even, and that's not necessarily mean the car. Let's say they're going through hard economic times. Well, in their minds, they kind of like think everybody else is doing better but me. You know, they don't, because when you're down and out with money, particularly for a male, it is our whole way of giving and nurturing is to supply funds to our loved ones. And when you can't do that, the male is just is in a quandary, and you know, and so so what was my point going to be? that you never know who you're helping out.
That's it.
You never know who you're helping out, and you know, I'll tell you a story. There's a guy, and I've told it before, but it's good if people hear it. Just this last year, working on some writing a book, and a friend of mine told me this story. David Preston Usher from upstate New York, and he told me that it's so perfectly timed. It just happened, I guess, a year ago. Some guy said he was going to go to the Green Island Bridge in Troy, New York, to commit suicide. So ironically, before I left living in Troy, I remember reading about a lawyer, and the lawyer I think was in his early 60s. And he'd gone to the Green Island Bridge, put rocks all in his pockets and everything, jumped off, and I don't know why pebbles and pockets, but anyway, he killed himself. He died. And so I always remember that guy for some reason. And so now here comes all these years later. It's maybe 30, 40 years later. And Dave says, oh, yeah, I just met this guy. He was on the way to commit suicide on the Green Island Bridge. He said, but the only reason I won't do it is if somebody acknowledges me, if somebody says hello, if somebody's kind to me. So he walks all the way to the bridge. Nobody says a thing to him. Nobody's kind to him. So he's thinking he's going to do this act to destroy himself and jump off the bridge when suddenly some little old man comes walking down, you know, with his cane or whatever and says, hey, how you doing, young fellow? Starts talking to him. And that old man will never know that he saved that young man's life. So you know everybody's going through something.
Everybody's going through something.
Exactly, you know, so, right. Oh, you know, Richard Corey, remember, but I work in his factory and I curse the life I'm living and I wish that I could be Richard Corey. The famous poem, Paul Simon made it into a song, and but Richard Corey went home last night. You know, he owns the factory, but I work in his factory, you know, and blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, and then suddenly he says, but Richard Corey went home last night and put a bullet in his head. So whether somebody is affluent or not, they might need your love just as much as, you know, as a poor folk, you know. So you can't judge by the outside appearance just because you got a suit and tie on or a fancy expensive dress.
We don't know what people are going through. We don't know. They may have just lost their parent,
yeah,
you know, or their child right next door to you. You know, I've sat next to people that I know that are very, very wealthy. You would never know it, you know, and they've shared intimate things with me. You know, it's just, I wouldn't go and hang out with these people because of their affluent life. You know, I have a different life than that. But yet, we're the same.
Yeah.
Alcohol knows no boundaries.
No, yeah.
You know, it doesn't. And I do know that however I treat you, it's going to come back to me. Well, if I treat you good, good's going to come. If I treat you not so good, then not so good.
Plus, it feels good.
It feels better.
Well, that's why I ask people, you know, like my friend, and I say, you know, do you go to church? Well, I don't really get anything out of it. So, well, it's not always what you get out of it, you know. And plus, on top of that, men need to understand that you are the priest of the household. Your number one job, by the way, is not making the income. Because even in the Bible, women go out and buy and sell land and everything, it says. It said your number one job is to be the priest. You will stand responsible for your sons and your daughters one day. Did you introduce them to the Lord? You know, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart, or he will return. And it's true, because you hear that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, you know, I kind of believed in Jesus when I was younger, but then I got away and lived for me, and wine, women, and song, or whatever your personal story is, And suddenly, there might be somebody out there, a higher power. Like with you, well, you said you believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you believe in Jesus or just God?
It was God. I didn't really think too much about it.
Me too. Yeah. I believed in God, but I didn't believe in this Jesus guy. And, many people don't know the story.
No, that's exactly
right. I was an adult, and no one had ever told me. Well, I'm 29 years old. I didn't know what Easter was about. No one ever told me. I thought it was about Easter egg baskets.
I just didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
I was told. I didn't pay attention.
No.
You know, I'll tell you, if you go to church
and
you don't get anything, you're not listening.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear whatever you say. Mm. You know, I'll tell you a story. I was in an AA meeting. And I was probably a year and a half sober.
Yeah.
And there's this woman in there. She was.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.